Okay. Well, there's the title, Choose to Forgive. Thank you. You have to, because the Bible says so. The big operative word here, choose. Now, I know there are those around who will say, this is probably one of my favourite words. But I actually believe it is important, because we always have a choice. Doesn't matter what our circumstances, where we're at, we have a choice. Choose to do, choose to not do. Choosing to not do anything is making a choice. You know, however you look at it, we're choosing. And we do it throughout our lives. So choosing to forgive is yet another one. Now, why? Okay, let's have a look what the Bible says, what Jesus says. In Matthew 6, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. It's a prayer that so often we say. When I was young, I didn't even think it had any particular meaning. It was just a prayer, you know, and we just said it. There's an awful lot in there, isn't there? A lot in there. And one part of it is actually underlined. Might not be physically underlined in your Bible, but if you read into the next verse, the next couple of verses, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. In Mark 11:25, there's another verse that's to do with this. In Mark, Jesus is talking about faithful and powerful prayer. And how can we make it, you know, how can we be more faithful and more powerful in our praying? And it says, but when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So we're getting some pretty powerful messaging here, aren't we, about the importance of forgiveness. So it really does have to be important. Let's have a look why. And so I can finish more positively than negatively. I'm going to start with the results of not forgiving. What happens if we don't forgive? Firstly, it hurts you. It hurts me as well. It hurts each one of us. We are hurt, and it erodes our peace. Just remember, if we're forgiving somebody, they may not even be aware that their words or their actions have done anything to you. They're unaffected, or potentially unaffected, but holding on to your unforgiveness erodes or wears away your peace. Secondly, it keeps you captive. There's an author, pastor called Bill Hybels, who wrote a book about simplified life. And he says, don't let unforgiveness rob you of time and energy that would be better invested in meaningful pursuits. The sooner you can pray a prayer of forgiveness and release those who hurt you, the sooner you can live a new kind of liberation. When you move from wounded to whole, you move to a more simplified life. And that's what we're about, isn't it? That's what this whole series is about, moving to the more simplified life. Thirdly, not forgiving can escalate into bitterness, which really hurts us, or even into revenge. And what does Jesus say about this? He says, Matthew 5:38-42, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. And he goes on in that same sort of vein. So, what's Jesus saying here? He's saying revenge is wrong. But it's one of the possible consequences of unforgiveness. I just said, just look at the Middle East crisis at the moment. Well, over many years, neither side will forgive. And it doesn't matter which group you're talking about, whether we're talking about the Jews, the Arabs, the Kurds, the whatever group, forgiveness is not a part of what's going on. Revenge is. They say revenge is sweet. I would say it's poison. No side in the Middle East is going to solve their problems until they learn how to forgive. They're not going to be solved by man. Well, look at all the efforts that there have been over the years to try and solve the problem. And until we get to that unforgiveness, it is not going to be solved. At a more personal level, writing on social media about how we've been wronged and who wronged us is a form of revenge. Sorry, might hurt, but it hurts you a lot more. Okay, let's look at the other side, the effects of forgiveness. First one, in Jesus' addition to his prayer, he says we can only be forgiven if we forgive first. So forgiving is of clear benefit to us, isn't it? Secondly, forgive somebody and you get released. Helpful? Yep. Two good benefits there. Jesus himself forgave. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So if we're forgiving, as Jesus forgave, we're becoming more like Jesus. Is that good? Yeah? Oh, right. Thank you. Forgiveness is to do with restoring relationships as well. And that's got to be good for us, isn't it? And when you've done everything you can in the way of forgiveness, including forgiving yourself, which isn't easy, then let it go. When you've done everything you can, the other person has to take responsibility for their actions. You are not responsible. If you're struggling in this area, then I think you have to ask yourself, have I really forgiven? Okay, that's some nice generalities. Let's have a look at some levels at which forgiveness is required. First one, I would call it minor offences. Secondly, legitimate wounds. I'll go into what all these are one by one. And lastly, life-shattering injustices. And I would say probably the most common, the minor offences, things like a slight, even a misunderstanding of what was said or what was done. Something that's relatively trivial, relatively inconsequential if you really sit back and look at it. And I would say, I've used that word really, I would say a reality check is helpful by asking ourselves two simple questions. One, why am I offended? What has offended me in what has been said or done? And secondly, just sit back and say, is that really what it was? Is that the reality of it? Is it such a big thing? If you're offended in this sort of area, perhaps I should more generalise it and say, often the person offended in this way, there's something out of balance in themselves. They tend to think of themselves as a victim. And they fail to see another person's point of view. Remember, how we react to something shows the state of our hearts, not what the action was. So if we're offended, it's quite probable we've got something out of balance. If we're feeling spiritually low, or we're out of sorts, we could just try an inverted version of Jesus' prayer. Father, forgive me, for I know not what I do. Might help us get things back in balance. So what's helpful? Well, keeping ourselves filled with God's love. If we're filled with God's love, there's no room to get angered, provoked, slighted, irritated, whatever other hated you want. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient and kind. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Helpful, isn't it? If the offence is trivial, we've got a choice. Forgive or Facebook. We can let everybody know we're offended. We can let everybody know who offended us. But it'll probably cause more problems. Wouldn't it be far simpler to forgive the offender and get over it? Paul in Philippians says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. In other words, forgive those who hurt you, forgive yourself, and let go. Yeah, simple. No, forgiving is not the same as forgetting. But if it's trivial, then it'll diminish in your thinking. If it's a neither here nor there thing, then it'll disappear over time. You know, God forgives, but he doesn't forget. But he doesn't hold things against us. That's how we know we're truly forgiven. It might, in certain circumstances, be dangerous to forget. If there's been an offence against us, if somebody's tried to attack you with a knife, it's not helpful to just forget it. Doesn't work, does it? It's not reality. But be careful how you hold on to remembering things, that remembering it is not the same as forgiveness. Okay, so if we're remembering it wrongly, we might still have unforgiveness there. Okay, three simple steps with these, what I call minor offences or trivial things. First, explore yourself and see if you have something out of balance that makes you irritable. Secondly, fill your heart with God's love. And thirdly, get over it. In all of these, we may well need God's help, but prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to invade us. All helpful. Yep. Okay, let's move into the second area, which is slightly less common, hopefully. What I've called legitimate wounds, when there's been a very real hurt, a betrayed loyalty, a misplaced word that's cut deeply, a broken promise, abuse. Forgiveness is still a choice. Doesn't mean it's a simple process or an easy process to go through, but it's still a choice. We need to fully acknowledge that a wrong was done to us. Grieve over what's been less, and yet eventually let the person off the hook. We release them. We let them go. Not for their sakes, but for our own and for Christ's sake. Forgiveness in God's time, it's the door to healing. Justice will not bring the peace and healing that I desire. In the end, clinging to my desire for justice doesn't cost the other person anything. It only costs me because it enslaves me. Think for a moment of those news broadcasts, and we've seen many of them, haven't we? Where you can see and hear people say, "I can never forgive." And you look at the bitterness on their faces. Who's injured? The perpetrator or the person who's holding unforgiveness? So how do we deal with forgiveness of this type? Well, forgiving a legitimate wound from a brother or sister, we can follow Jesus' advice. And it applies, a lot of it applies outside church as well. So Jesus was writing or speaking to believers. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offence. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. If you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. And in the next few verses, Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times?" No, not seven times, but 70 times seven. That's an awful lot of forgiveness, isn't it? In other words, keep it up. But let's remember, the aim is to restore the relationship, whether it be a member of the church or not, whether it be another Christian or not. And with God's grace, Jesus' model will work. Paul writes to the Romans 12:18, and a few words added, "If it is possible, and as far as it depends on you," remember, you can't do things that other people have to do. You can't do it for them. "Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone." if it is possible and as far as it depends on you. Live in peace with everyone. So, in summary of what Jesus says, it's go alone. Go to restore the relationship. Go now, and then let it go. Yep. Okay, forego. Yeah. Forego the promise to. Yeah. Just a couple of examples here. Personal examples. The first one where we were hurt. When we worked in France, in with a pastor there, there were quite a few unkind things said to us, and we were actually abused in the way we worked with this person. And finally, he asked us to leave his church. We did leave, and we forgave him. So we had no problem. Some 15 years later, he came and asked for our forgiveness. He released himself and restored our relationship. Praise God. But it also works the other way, because we're not all as perfect as we'd like to think sometimes, are we? Just last week, I was having a conversation with somebody and said something that wasn't a very helpful thing to say. And I didn't do what I should have done and gone and dealt with it straight away. But before we got to the end of the day, that person had come back to me and said, I need to sort this out with you, which we did. And the final phrase was, we can move on from here. And it's absolutely true. Now, the harder bit was to forgive myself. And that took several days of actually sorting out. So, both sides of the situation. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's look at the third area, the life-shattering injustices. What am I thinking of here? Hopefully these are much more rare. Thinking of someone close to you being hurt or killed in a road accident, especially where there's a drunk driver involved. It's not fair, is it? Perhaps in today's climate we should think of people being hurt, or even worse, in terrorist attacks. We're hearing them, you know, weekly, if not more frequently. And these things are very unjust to each of us. They're very unfair. Forgiveness in these kind of circumstances usually takes time. No platitudes will help. It just takes time to work through. And it also takes a very different kind of heart attitude to choose forgiveness rather than revenge. I heard it said when, 9/11, after that attack on New York, that if America had forgiven rather than take revenge, it may well have been a very different situation in the Middle East today. But Jesus modelled forgiveness in those difficult circumstances. And I make no excuse for putting up again, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Imagine that when you've just been flogged, being nailed to a cross, hung there to die in the cruelest of ways. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There's a very real example some years ago when there were bombings in Northern Ireland. There was I think it was in Enniskillen, where a wall fell down, crushed a whole load of people. And one man held his daughter's hand as she died under that crushed wall. And when he was interviewed afterwards, the first thing he said was, "I forgive them." So, I don't belittle, I don't minimise the difficulties of forgiveness in these cases, but I would like to underline that they are rare. And at time, the help of a friend, someone who'll stand with you, not simply offer platitudes, will not gossip about it. And God's help will enable us to eventually forgive. And we have a very real example.
Just want to thank Sherry for coming sharing, because as Gary's already said, these life-shattering injustices are really rare and really difficult sometimes to get through. But Sherry's agreed to share some of her story with us. So, Sherry, could you just start, for those of you who don't know, to explain what happened to you and what that injustice was?
25 years ago, my daughter was murdered, 13-year-old, by my husband.
Okay, so obviously that was really difficult situation to go through for someone that you loved, someone so close to you, to do something so horrific. So could you explain to us, Sherry, how and what made it possible for you to move on from that and how God helped you in that?
As Gary's already pointed out, I went through that phase of hating him, wanting to kill him, planning things to kill him. If I got a gun, I could sort it out. I walked through life for a few years, really angry, hitting out at everybody that loved me, hitting out at God, hitting out my mum that were a Christian. And I knew that it was tearing me apart inside. I knew I can't explain it, but I knew inside I was turning into something I didn't want to be. And I knew I'd got to forgive. The thing that bothered me the most is I kept thinking that if I forgive him, I was letting him off in some way. So that put me off the forgiveness. But I knew, and I kept saying to Mum, I can't keep walking around feeling this way. And I just knew, even though I turned away from God at that point, I knew that in my heart I had to let it go. And I did pray to forgive him. And the release, the weight, the feeling afterwards of letting that go was absolutely amazing. And it just changed my life from that point. I didn't come back to church at that point. I just forgive at that point.
So I know that then that's had an impact on you later on. And it's allowed you then to be able to do some stuff that you would have never been able to do. So yes. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
An incident came up. Some people from another church came to me and asked. They were doing work with murderers and people in prison. And they came to me and asked me how I felt about going to speak to people in prison. Oh dear, that took some prayers. But I thought, you know, if I can just change one's heart in that prison, then I'm going to go and do it. And I found myself sitting down, talking to one man who'd murdered a young boy, saying that after he'd heard my story, because sometimes I don't think they realise the impact it has on the person that they've committed the crime on. And I sat him down and said to him, you know, the best thing you can do. He says he wanted to go back to that community. And I says, the best thing you can do is go back and work hard and prove yourself. Prove to that community that your life is worth something and make up for that life that you've took. And I walked away from that thinking, oh my goodness, if that isn't God speaking through me, I don't know what is. Another occasion is my ex-husband, who was in prison till a few weeks ago, last year I had a phone call telling me that he was dying. He was really ill. And I broke down and cried and prayed for God to save him, to heal him. I was shocked. I have to say, I was totally shocked at myself doing that. But that's how I felt. That is what the forgiving did for me, that I prayed for this man that I was praying for years before to die. I was praying for him to be healed. And he is. He's out and he's healed.
Great. Thanks, Sherry. Thank you for sharing and being vulnerable. We really appreciate that. I just want to just a little note to say that Carmela doesn't know any of Sherry's story. So if you want to talk to her about it, that is fine. But please be sensitive in sharing that if Carmela's around or other children around, because that would really help Sherry and Carmela. So thank you, Sherry.
Hard to follow that, isn't it? Just a couple of reminders, really, of what we've said as we've gone through. And I do thank Sherry because it illustrates so well the need for forgiveness and how it changes us when we forgive. Just a reminder that the shorter the time between the offence and forgiveness gives the enemy less time to work on you and your poor me syndrome. So keep the time short if you need to ask forgiveness. If you're struggling with forgiveness, perhaps a simple variation of Mark 9:29, I do believe, help my unbelief, will help us. And address ourselves to Jesus. I do forgive. Help me with my own forgiveness. Yeah. I want to give us time to reflect. Perhaps something along the way has been jogged in your memory. A time to reflect and ask God, do I need to forgive anyone or in any situation? Do I need to go to someone and ask forgiveness? Do I need to sort it out now? And by now, I suggest waiting till after the meeting rather than draw attention to yourself. And please don't misinterpret any conversations that go on at the end. And finally, do I need any help through this? Not to gossip about someone, but to genuinely get through it. Yeah? Can we take that time just to reflect, to speak to God, and to deal with any unforgiveness?